Hello and welcome to the Football Foundry, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. I'm your very ill host, James, and I am joined by a rather well-feeling Matt.
I was going to say, I'm definitely more healthy, but yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Yeah, I'm just slowly dying, so if I just start dying in corner, just let me crack on.
Just do it quietly.
Yeah. Do you know something, just quickly before we like get on into news and stuff like that? Mick Foley is attending Sheffield United.
I've seen.
He's, Billy Sharp Madness. Is now Mick Foley's favourite footballer, above Pelé.
Oh, God. I really question Mick Foley. He's had too many chair shots in his life, yeah. So it's understandable that definitely. He thinks Billy Sharp is his favourite.
He's also going to Grant Holt's wrestling event as well, isn't he? Grant Holt's a wrestler now.
Yeah, no, I was about to say he used to play for Carlisle, but he was born in Carlisle.
There you go. Close enough, though. I'll accept it. If you want to say it, I'm perfectly fine with it.
No, but he didn't play for Carlisle, then I'm just lying to the world.
You should start a new thing. He didn't play for Carlisle. It would be a whole bloody day.
I'd be saying something about every single player then, mate, if I did that. He didn't play for Carlisle.
Oh, dear. Right, I'm just going to cut you off and go into news.
Go for it.
So two quick pieces of news this week. It just sort of crept out today just before recording. Obviously, everyone knew about Aaron Ramsey's move to Juventus, but did everyone know about the contract that came along with it? Wow. This will make him the highest paid British player ever. But because they're not spending any money on a transfer fee, they can afford to do this.
Yep.
So, like, it's not really that mental when you think about it, because it works out at about £20.8 million per year. So how much would you value Ramsey at in today's market?
About 60.
Yeah, 60, maybe 70 million at a push. So that's about 3-4 years worth, right? Yeah. There, just on his wages alone for a 3 or 4 year deal. I think it's 4 years he's on, isn't it?
Couldn't tell off the top of my head. Couldn't tell you.
I don't know. I just know the wages. So, yeah, £20.8 million per year it works out at. That's £1.73 million per month. £400,000 a week, is obviously that's how we refer to the wages. £57,100 per day. This is where it just gets depressing. £2,380 per hour. So all you hourly paid people out there, just compare that to your current rate. Oh dear. And then £39.68 a minute and 66 pence a second. That is crazy.
So he's literally receiving two £20 notes every minute. Here you go.
That is crazy.
Here you go.
That's what they should do to footballers. They should make someone follow them around to pass them the money they earn minute by minute. I feel like they'll start refusing the really high wages. I don't want him following me around all day. I don't want Manuel following me around with a checkbook. Oh, passing God. Me a check yeah. every minute. Oh, God, that would be a nightmare. But highest paid British player ever. That's crazy to think
about. Aaron Ramsey.
Yeah. Welsh as well. You'd think Gareth Bale would be on that, but
no, but they paid ridiculous amount of money to get him from Tottenham, didn't they?
Exactly, so that's why Juventus are, like, making the saving.
Absolutely.
Whew, crazy stuff. I'd love to be on that. But next piece of news. Paul Scholes is named Oldham Athletic's manager. Been in talks for quite a bit, this, but it's actually finally been announced now.
Yeah, it's been linked to that. He's always been touted as a going to be the new manager of Oldham, but it's just eventually finally happened.
Yeah, like it's really took its time to come out, and like the amount of times it's been mentioned is ridiculous. But how do you think he's going to get on though? Do you think he'll do an all right job or?
It'll be hard to tell because obviously this is his first real job. You've got nothing really else to compare it with. Obviously, he's BT pundit and that, and he talks a talk, but can he walk the walk? So just time will tell, won't it?
That's exactly it, isn't it? That's exactly it. But one thing that I've got is it's a bit like Sol Campbell, obviously dropping down into League Two to be a manager. You got to start somewhere. Yeah. It's fair enough. But they're both huge names, and to have them in the lower leagues, especially in League Two, it would have an immediate impact on the squad, because you think, oh my God, Paul Scholes is my manager. Like, if he thinks I'm a good player and he picks me, that's Paul Scholes picking me. So it can have that sort of mentality on people as
well. Yeah, true. I suppose,
So it might get the squad performing to the best, really, if possible.
That's what they'll be hoping. New manager in, new manager syndrome. You tend to get a couple of wins off the bounce, off unless you're the Huddersfield manager. But by that,
yeah, can you really call him a manager, though? Like, I'd rather have Paul Scholes in at Huddersfield, to be honest.
Probably has a bit more football nous to him, but
yeah. Oh dear. One thing I have got a question for, though, because I genuinely don't know the answer to this, and you might know it. I was just thinking about before recording. So Salford are in the conference.
Yeah, doing quite well.
And they're looking likely to come up. There's a possibility that they can come up. So what if Salford Woods gets promoted into League Two? How does that then affect? Because he's obviously got shares in
he's part
Salford.
Owner.
And he'd be the manager of Oldham. Now, I don't think we've ever had a situation where you've got a manager of one team that's got shares in another team in the same league before. Like, I get you've got owners like Man City who have obviously owned Man City, and they've got shares in like New York FC and stuff like that. But that's never going to conflict anything because they're in completely different leagues. They're never going to come up against each other, friendlies and stuff. But what if, say, for example, Salford came up and it was Oldham and Salford that were in the two relegation spots in League Two?
Just example.
I'm not saying it'll happen, but and then maybe Oldham's form really drops off and Salford's really picks up, or the other way around. Could it be construed as like, I don't know. Like, does it affect anything or what? Like,
well, Paul Scholes will have to go into that match knowing that his job is to win games for Oldham Athletic, so it shouldn't really affect him. But I can understand the angle where you come from. Obviously, he has interest in both clubs, so ideally he wants the best outcome for the best result outcome for the pair of them. So it's a weird one.
Well, like, I just think, I don't know, I think it's a bit of a, say for example, if another situation would be Salford's last game of the
need
season
to win
against
to stay
Oldham.
Up in Oldham.
They need, they need to win to stay up. For to suit Scholes financially, Oldham needs to stay in that league. Oldham are going to finish 12th. They're not going to have any effect on anything, and it's a game they don't really need to win. They could easily throw that game just so Salford could stay up. And it's things like that that sort of gets me, because it's...
I doubt they would do that.
Is it actually allowed?
I doubt they would do that.
And I'm not saying they would do it, but there's that little thing there. And I'm really interested as to see if there's any actual ruling against having that.
It's a weird one, that. There'd be an outcry because it'd affect bookies, it'd affect everything, to be truthful. So I don't think... I think if... Yeah. I don't know. Because obviously there's no real punishment in the league for fielding a weaker side. Obviously, I know there is in Johnston Paint, whatever cup it is called nowadays, you've got to have certain players playing in your team. But there's nothing really against it.
It's a weird one because it never really happened. But I'd be interested if anyone out there does actually know anything about this. I'd just be interested to know if there's some form of ruling against it or anything like that.
On the weaker side.
Because they always have a little fine. Like, even if, for example, he had nothing to do with the two games that they played against Salford, and they had to get the assistant to step in. Something like that. I don't know.
It could be another way of, like, obviously you got title race in the Premiership. Man United could bend over to get beat by City, but then play a full strength team to beat Liverpool. So hashtag game one, but Liverpool. But
but yeah, it's literally things like that. Like, they could do anything. I'm not saying they would. I'm not saying Scholes is that type of person, but it's a possibility, and it gives an unfair advantage to those two teams. So anything could happen, and with how strict the ruling is nowadays in football,
exactly.
You never know. But let's talk Premier League, and wow, talk about Sarri ball. Oh, he should God, be no. Sorry ball.
No.
Oh dear. We said a few weeks ago that we thought Chelsea were going to start imploding from inside.
Yeah, just happening. A tad.
My God, it is happening. They suffered the heaviest defeat in any competition since losing 7-0 to Nottingham Forest in 1991. So it is the heaviest defeat in the Premier League of their history.
Yeah.
Mental.
God, Chelsea were horrific. Like, abysmal. Terrible. Any other negative words you can call them probably fits. Fill this sentence.
Worthless.
Chelsea are... Any negative comments, he's fit it.
I might leave that as a title.
Fill in the blank.
And then a blank line. Oh, dear. Aguero not only got his 11th Premier League hat-trick and equaling the record set by Shearer, he also picked up his 8th goal of 2019. This is where it gets interesting. That is double the amount of any other player in the Premier League and more than 11 clubs in the Premier League, including Chelsea, who have only scored 7 goals in 2019.
He's a little bit good. A little bit good.
Just a little bit good. That miss, though.
He made up for it.
That miss. Oh, he made up for it.
I know. Like, it just shows that he's human, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly it. It literally human. Shows he's human. And then goes and bangs in an
action. Indeed.
That's just what you want. But I suppose we'll start off with Sterling's goal. And it was a result of some seriously poor defending. Who even was with Silva when he whips it across? Because Alonso's just wandering around next to David Luiz. Silva plays it across and Ding Sterling smashes it home.
As easy as that. Like, yeah. Because wasn't that off the quick taken free kick? Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it got played down to Silva. Who then played it across and then Sterling got his goal. But I'm trying to refrain myself because...
Just let it be.
I'm really annoyed about this game. Right. Alonso was... I'm trying to find words where I'm not swearing. Was useless in this game. And it's not even his fault. He cannot play in a back four to save his life because... Right, oh God, I'm going to proper go on one here. He cannot play in that back four because he's one of the most attacking fullbacks in the league. He will get you possibly even 10 goals a season. He's that attacking. Like, and he'll get a load of assists. He's a really good attacking player, right? Mm-hmm. And he needs to be playing as a wing back, not a fullback.
I was
going to
say, he's not even a fullback. He's now not a wing back.
Exactly. So to then drop him into a back four, Aspilicueta... I know he started out as a right back, but for me personally, he makes a better centre back.
Yeah.
And I think getting rid of Victor Moses on loan to Fenerbahce was a mistake because he was a quality wing back for.
Plus, he's doing
Chelsea
actually
well
in Turkey right now. Fenerbahce have turned the corner with him being in the team because he started off quite badly this season, Fenerbahce.
Yeah. And if you are going to play a back four, that is perfectly fine, but. For me, you need to play 4-2-3-1 and have Kante and Jorginho sat in that holding role. So when your wing backs do push on, they can fill the gaps and you've got no issues. Instead of playing, Matt, help me. I'm going to go off on one here. But he can't do it. And he's got no spatial awareness or anything. He just wants to follow David Luiz because he looks lost and he can't do it. And they're just getting battered down that right flank. And you see it all game. And then they start bullying Aspilicueta as well. I'm pretty much covering full game.
Just keep going.
Aspilicueta came out and said it was his worst game ever. Like, you don't do that. You just say, sorry, I messed up. I'm an idiot. Let's go next game. David Luiz looks like
you've
an
just
idiot,
gone like full does. Like into the dark side in Star Wars. They just let the hatred consume you. You've just gone Darth Vader. You started off as Anakin, and you now just gone Darth Vader.
Luke, I am your father. Oh dear. Yeah, let's move away from my rant.
Just think back to Sheffield United, boys. On Friday, bring it back. Bring that rant back.
Don't. I'll
feed
get
the
to
hate.
That later. That's
feed
when
the
I'm gonna,
hate.
I'm going to full on explode. Then I'm feeling it. I'm going to contain it. about 5 minutes after Aguero misses, he certainly makes up for it for that absolute cracking.
Yeah, Zinchenko does really well on the left hand side. I think was it this or was it for this goal? Yeah, it was for this goal.
Yeah, Zinchenko yeah, he slightly knocked.
Gets
it
a bit
on.
Lucky with a bobble, like bounce ricochets off him, but. Yeah. It's the way that it's going for Chelsea at the moment. So it just ends up leading off to Serge, and he just, you know what, top bin.
Yeah. He's like, I might miss from 2 yards.
22 yeah, yards.
Add another 23.
Oh, yeah. 20, whatever. Bread and butter, that is. I'm like Dakura. Yeah, I'm like Dakura, my hero. I don't do tap ins.
That's exactly it. Even though last week he got an hat trick of tap ins.
Yeah, no, but that was the last week. This is this week. Yeah, different mindset
man.
This week.
Yeah, I'm not going to handball it this week. I'm just going to miss from 2 yards and smash it in from 25. then we had the header. The absolute amazing header. And no, it's not the one where Aguero hits the bar. It's the one from Barkley's assist into Aguero.
Oh my God, what was he thinking?
Who gets himself a second goal. 20 minutes,
3-0. What was he thinking?
Yeah, like... If you're going to head it back to your keeper, put a bit of power onto it. Don't just bob it up.
I don't get even what he was thinking, to be true, because... Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I've literally got no idea. For me, why is Barkley even that far back? I understand you moved back with your team, but he shouldn't be that far back. You've got Kante and you've got Jorginho that needs being that sort of...
Flick it onwards. Like, just...
Yeah, just get
you wouldn't try and head the ball back to your keeper over two of your own defenders and an attacking player. You would just, no, it's too much risk, too much collisions, too many. No, just no.
Just get rid. Oh, here we go again. But it was poor defending, pathetic clearances. There was just no organisation. Alonso's prattling around with his hair. And so's David Luiz as well. He's doing the same. Rudiger, I don't even know if he
doesn't
knew
have
he
hair,
in that
so he
game.
Can't do that as well.
Exactly. But he's German and they're falling apart a minute, so that'll
okay.
do. And there were just a full list of things that cost Chelsea a fourth when it was cleared straight into path of Gundogan, who hits it first time into bottom corner. Can't take nothing away from that finish because it was.
Kepa could have saved it.
But still, Chelsea are rubbish. Gundogan, good hit.
Kepa should have saved it. I'm trying to feed you rant here, but Kepa should have saved it.
Yeah.
Azra Balaga.
Yeah, I can't say that name, so I'm not even
going to
know.
Azra Balaga.
Azra Balaga. No,
yeah,
I really
keep going.
Can't do it.
Move on.
Azra Balaga. No, I can't do it.
They can't give you players' names that you can pronounce properly. Rant more about them. Rant more.
Chelsea, goddammit. Oh, I set my dog off. That's always good, isn't it?
Agrees. Chelsea, rubbish.
Oh dear. Oh, and then Aspilicueta. This is when they started bullying him on this flank as well, because Sterling was on fire this game.
Oh, Sterling had him in his pocket. Like, it was.
Yeah. And like, for me, Aspilicueta is one of the more experienced defenders that Chelsea have actually got.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could even arguably say he's the best defender they've got. And Sterling would just. Hassling him all game. He couldn't keep up with
him. Yeah.
He was pulling off skills, the pace, even the strength. He was out strengthening someone. This is Raheem Sterling we're on about. Little chicken legs.
H Stone went through. Yeah, I know.
Exactly. Like, and then obviously he gets taken down, gets the penalty. Aguero gets his hat trick. Chelsea are done. Sarri's done. Jorginho garbage. Put Kante in holding role. Play Hudson-Odoi. Play it Alonso as a wing back.
Yes, feed this dark side. Yes.
I'm just in one of their moods. It's, like, a lot of people are saying that this was just City being absolutely dominant.
Chelsea were rubbish.
Chelsea mistakes. But for me, like, everyone's saying this is Chelsea's best performance. I was going to say, if Chelsea's best performance, they're really in trouble. this is City's best performance, a lot of people are saying. But it's not. It's like, really not.
No. Chelsea were absolute. So...
Yeah, I don't even need to bleep that.
I bleep myself.
Oh, in that case, I'm just going to go silent for a minute whilst I swear. But no, it's not a City top drop. Like, it's a good performance, don't get me wrong.
No, they would, have turned the majority of the teams over in the Premiership playing like this, but yeah, it wouldn't have been 6-0.
No, they've definitely played a lot better football, by far. And it was just Chelsea. They just couldn't deal with it. They've got no motivation. They've got no organisation. They've got Hazard didn't even touch the ball in this game. You've got a striker in Higuain, right, who is clearly unfit. Let's just put it out there. He is not at full match fitness. He's not at the ability he should be at. And he's closing down, jogging. Every time City just moved that
it
ball
wasn't
around.
Just wasn't just the fact as that though the three behind him weren't supporting him on the closing down runs.
Yeah, exactly. At all. So like you've got Kante, you've got Hazard, who are really quick and really good at closing down. All you need is you need Higuain running towards the player with the ball and the other two blocking the options. Plain and simple. They practice it in Sunday League football. It's basic stuff, and if they can't manage basic stuff, then something is going horribly wrong at Chelsea. And I don't know if it's Sarri, I don't know if it's the players, I don't know what it is, but we've seen it time and time again. We've seen it under Mourinho, seen it under Conte, where they just give up. They don't believe in the philosophy that the manager's trying to implement, and they just give up, and it ruins managers' careers. Like, it actually makes them look terrible. Sarri is a good manager because he's proven it with Napoli. Yeah. He does need that sort of breathing space to adjust in the Premier League. I understand that. But he needs to sort this squad out drastically, as in next week, because they've got a cup final coming up against City. They've got Man United coming up as well. And they're just going to get pasted. And they're not even going to finish in top six if they keep this up.
It doesn't help himself, though. Like, City in this game did a really good job of neutralising Jorginho. Oh my God, how do you pronounce his name? I'm now doing to you. Jorginho. Oh my God, what was I thinking? Like, Chelsea's main way of playing out the back is passing it out to Jorginho and he'll ping it out left or right or centre. But Chelsea, City pressing the whole time. So any time Chelsea were trying to pass it out, they'd do a more awkward pass or pass it to someone else, and City just kept picking it up, and it was causing Chelsea mistake after mistake after mistake. So they were able to pick the ball back up and just batter them.
See, the annoying thing for me is you're in that situation and, like you say, Jorginho's nullified in that game. He can't do anything, right? As 11 professional players on a football pitch, you think this is not working. Regardless what Sarri's saying, you need to think we have got a World Cup winning central defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
If we just sort of pull him back, let him sit deep, hold tight till half time, let's reorganise, let's regroup, let's rethink this because it's not working and let's go again. But no, they get sent out in second half, exact same, and it gets them nothing other than conceding another two goals. Like, it's... Oh, I've got an headache, Matt. It's hurting me. Right. I completely understand that Sarri was frustrated with the game. I get it. But to just walk away from Pep as he's standing there with his hand out was just disrespectful. Zola did shake Pep's hand and spoke to him, but Sarri wasn't having any of it. He just went straight down the tunnel, and that was that. He stayed in the dressing room for quite a bit as well. I imagine letting all the players shout at him whilst he just chewed on a cigarette or something. I don't know. I like the way that he is with the press. I like he says how he feels. He's got no like filter, if you like, about what he's saying to him. I don't know if he understands how that affects him, but fair play. I don't know. Is he in real trouble?
Probably not yet. I know this is a really, really bad result, but I don't think need to absolutely panic and bring in a new manager right now. Obviously, they do need to try and keep in the top four, but they've got the players there. It's just got to go back to how we started this season off. They've just flicked the switch. Well, ideally, you need to play Kante in his proper position. Just go back to having wing backs, centre backs, etc. Play Christiansen, Luis, Rudiger as a back three. Have two wing backs. Have Kante, Jorginho. What is up with me? I can't say his name tonight. Jorginho. Get Hazard playing up Higuain and get Loftus-Cheek or Barkley or Hudson-Odoi as the other person up there as well. It's just pretty easy.
He needs to change up now. Like, I get that he's been adamant that that's the style of football he wants them to play. But if the players aren't gelling to it and it's not working, like, you've got to have some leeway and you've got to think, right, that's not working. Let's try this for a few games. Let's see how we go with this. It's always trial and error. I know that's not a term that you want to be using when you're a, quote, top six club or whatever.
Exactly.
But you've got to at this point. You've just got pasted 6-0 by someone you should be challenging to beat.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's City and et cetera, et cetera. But if you want to win things, you've got to beat these teams. It's as simple as that. And at this point, to me, it is just trial and error now. You've got to go in there. You've got to think, right, we got pasted that game. Wing-backs did nothing. Full-backs did nothing. Maybe mix it up a bit. Kante, I want you to drop back with Jorginho. Cover them when they push forwards. Give us a bit more attacking option. Because Alonso, you got X amount of assists last season because you played as a wing-back. You pushed forwards more. You did this, you did that, etc. Because he is great going forwards, and I love him going forwards. He just can't defend to save his life. So if he's got a screener, like Jorginho pulling across, or Kante pulling across, he's got that freedom then.
Yeah.
Whereas he's just stuck back at the minute. It's not working. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll move away from it anyway before I start headbutting my wall or something. Man United won 3-0 against Fulham at Craven Cottage. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has picked up 25 points in the Premier League since taking over in December. That's winning 8 and drawing 1. More than any other manager in their first 9 games in charge of a team in the Premier League.
He's definitely doing bits.
Indeed. Get him signed up to Chelsea. And then we had Watford Everton. Silva's previous club came back to bite him. He really needed this result as well, and they've got some seriously tough games coming up, Everton.
They're in such a bad run at the moment. I still think they're in a transitional period from obviously the big Sam way, so I don't think they should have been expecting immediate results. Obviously, it's a complete change in system for the team, but they didn't start off too badly, so it's just a bit weird why it's gone downhill now. It's just...
It's weird, isn't it? It's weird. Because Richarlison hit ground running when it first started.
I don't know. Got like, 3 goals in 2 games, and he got a red card. But it was...
But saying that, he did the same for Watford and then declined right off.
Yeah.
So... I don't know, maybe he needs to keep that motivational thing going with him. Because if he can get a run of games going where he's scoring goals, he's a very dangerous player to have in your side.
Yeah,
he's
confident. Absolutely.
But Arsenal beat Huddersfield 2-1. And Huddersfield is still rock bottom of the Premier League. And Arsenal are the only side in the Premier League without an away clean sheet this season. Crazy that, isn't it? Especially when Kolasinac puts it in back of his own net. He really wanted to hold on to that record.
Yeah, I know. But Huddersfield did finally score. They scored.
Yeah, under the new manager.
Yeah.
Who's not really a manager, he's just a phony.
No, I don't even know, but yeah.
Neil Warnock's boys beat Hasenhüttl's Southampton. And it's Southampton's first loss in 6 Premier League games.
Cardiff are in decent form.
You know what? Cardiff, Burnley and Southampton are in a decent run of form.
Yeah, they are.
And they're obviously 3 teams that are competing for safety. But Cardiff have won consecutive top flight games for the first time since 1962.
That's been a long time coming, but yeah. Fair play to Cardiff.
Like, I feel like Neil Warnock were in that team.
Yeah, I know. He could have been.
It could have been. Crystal Palace got a 1-1 draw with West Ham, and only Southampton and Huddersfield have picked up fewer points at home than Crystal Palace this season. Southampton have picked up 12, Huddersfield have picked up 5, and Palace have picked up 13.
Huddersfield picked up 5, wowza.
Crazy, isn't it?
My prediction didn't happen.
Well, oh yeah, for Benteke.
Yeah.
Hey, if MacArthur squared it instead of taking a stupid shot, it'd have been
in. How did he miss?
I've literally got no idea, mate. Not a Scooby-Doo. That was crazy, though.
He dropped the keeper. It was
yeah. Dropped keeper and then spooned it to corner flag. Ridiculous. God knows what he was doing. Absolute mental. Liverpool beat Bournemouth 3-0. Bournemouth have lost their last 8 away games in the Premier League, conceding at least 2 goals each time.
Boo. Just boo.
What about Wijnaldum's chip in this?
Oh, that was nice.
That little dink. That was lovely.
Yeah, that was nice. I'll give him that. That was a nice finish. Very, very good finish.
Was indeed. And then Burnley beat Brighton 3-1. Burnley go 7 games unbeaten for the first time in their Premier League history. They're definitely firing on all cylinders again. And it's since Heaton has come back, he has really strengthened that defence up again.
I watched the game live. They pretty much were saying that before that, Joe Hart was conceding an average of 2 goals per game. But since Tommy Heaton's been back, he's been back for like 7 or 8 games or something. There was like they conceded 6 goals in 7 games.
Crazy, isn't it?
Brighton were unlucky though in this game because they should have got a penalty.
They were. The penalty that Burnley got.
The penalty that Brighton didn't get because Burnley went and counted it and scored from it when Hendrick just pulled it away from Glenn Murray.
Yeah. Crazy. How he got away with that, I've got no idea. Because it's going towards his chest, isn't it? And he uses his arm to drag it round to turn on it. And then start the counter. And then they go up other end and they win a penalty. Is that the one where they win a penalty?
It is that one, mate. It is.
Yeah.
Ashley Barnes gets brought down.
Like, mental. Yeah. Mental. I best also mention as well, Mike Dean on his 99 career red cards.
Ah, fair enough.
So if he'd have sent someone off in this Man City-Chelsea game, that'd have been his 100th sending off.
Does he get a framed red card to put on the wall, signed by all the other refs?
I think he needs a framed picture of some of his poses that he's done.
Oh,
he's got some brilliant poses, that guy.
He's getting
the penalty that he gave in that City match.
He's getting He's getting turned into GIFs and memes left, right, and centre this week.
He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. And Spurs beat Leicester 3-1. And this fixture, get this, right? This fixture has now joined the Sheffield Derby as the most played top flight fixtures without ever recording a goalless draw, which is 84 meetings between the clubs.
Wow.
So in 84 games in the top flight, Spurs and Leicester have never had a 0-0 draw. Same as Sheffield United and Sheffield Wednesday have never had a 0-0 draw. Crazy.
Until 3 weeks away when Sheffield, Iron City Derby, Steel City Derby, I should say.
Sheffield Steel.
Your derby's coming up soon as well, isn't it?
No, but it's not in top flight. The last game we played was 0-0. So, yeah. And obviously, Monday night football, we've got Wolves Newcastle. Do we have a live update on that, Matt?
0-0. Wolves are on top.
Right, okay. Standard, because it's Newcastle.
Wolves on top, I'd say.
But yeah, I suppose we'll drop down into Championship where I'm about to completely overboil.
Right, like, as the theme of this, let the dark side consume you and just spit out hate.
Right.
And loathing.
Here we go. So, Friday night comes along and Sheffield United are playing Aston Villa. And as we spoke about last week, it's some pretty important games because that top end of Championship is looking real tasty, and it's literally anyone's for taking before Friday. Now, Friday came along, and we're away to Aston Villa. Billy Sharp, being the man that he is, gets himself a hat-trick, scoring his 101st goal for the club. So it's a real milestone for him. It would have been a brilliant day to remember. Get your hat-trick, 100-plus goals for the team you support, and get us top at table, albeit a game plus to the opposition, but still top of the table. And with Norwich heading to Ipswich, who are the bottom of the league, you'd expect them to win. So it was going to be short-lived either way. Now, I know the second goal, I don't know if you've seen it, Matt, but the second goal sparked a lot of controversy because it kicks it out the keeper's hand and he's in an offside position, which is fine. Yep. I get that. Shouldn't have counted. I agree with it. But it did. End of. Can't really argue it. But I am fuming. I was about to use another F word then, but I can't be bothered to beep it. I am absolutely fuming that you can actually let a 3-0 lead slip inside 10 minutes, right? As I said, the captain goes and grabs a hat-trick. His 100th goal plus for the club, and it's such a brilliant feeling. And then we fall apart. 82nd minute, Tyrone Mings scores from a header where Dean Henderson cannot even come out and claim it because he was too weak at getting out and actually being a dominant keeper and couldn't get it, right? And then second goal, Tammy Abraham gets a tap in from a pushback or whatever you want to call it, a parry from the keeper after a tame effort that should have been dealt with is put him back at net, right? You're thinking 3-2, oh my God, how have we let this happen? But we'll hold on. No. Jack O'Connell, our possibly best defender that we have, one that Brighton wanted to sign to play in the Premier League, goes and fluffs a clearance, looks like he plays for Chelsea. Oh, and then it's just chipped across to Green and he heads it into back at net. And oh my God, the uproar, the absolute uproar was just ridiculous. And the thing that really annoyed me is, this is where I'm just going to delve into some stupid stuff now that non-Sheffield United fans won't care about. But we had Kieran Dowell on, right? And he was unbelievable. He had such a big impact in us going forwards and actually looking like the dominant side. He was involved in the goals, build-up, assists, etc. He was a really big influence on the game. Now, we took him off, right? Mm-hmm. And we brought on a defender. And we pushed Chris Basham up from defence into midfield, right? That completely dysfunctionised that entire back line. And it was just essentially an S show from right. And it just absolutely fell apart, and I've never seen a team fall apart so badly with not one, not two, but three defensive howlers from arguably as two best players in Dean Henderson and Jack O'Connell. It was just pathetic. And we walk out with 1 point when we had 3 points. Everyone's chanting, we're top of the league, we're top of the league. But nah, we're not, because we can't even see out a 3-0 lead. Pathetic.
Are you okay?
No.
I'm getting that feeling. Oh. Yeah.
Like, I don't even like featuring Sheffield United on this because I don't want to seem biased. But the fact that featured us and then ripped us apart, I feel like that's okay.
Yeah,
because I was, and the fact that my brother's a Chef Wednesday fan, he was straight on there, straight on it. Of course he was.
Good, as he should be. Rival fan and that, should be doing that too.
I know what it's like to be a Carlisle fan now anyway, Matt.
Yeah, I know.
Not being able to see games out and all this.
Choking, yeah.
Yeah,
we're good at that. Not at the moment as much, but I'm used to it.
In the past, yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, there were some other good games in Championship. Che Adams got an hat trick, former Blade and that.
Used to be Sheffield, eh?
Yeah. Never played for Carlisle, though.
No.
Brighton. Who was it? Brighton and... No, it wasn't Brighton. It was Southampton, weren't it, that wanted Che Adams?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of others as well, maybe Burnley, I can't remember. But there are a few Premier League clubs that wanted him, ended up winning 4-3.
Yeah, man.
Great stuff from them. But yeah, I think I'm all ranted out now.
Good. You can now sit back, relax, have a drink, just try and calm down.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. I'm maybe go to bed.
To sleep it off. Everything will be better in the morning.
I don't think it will. That's the problem. I don't think it will. But I'll wake up tomorrow and that game will have got, I don't know, the result pulled. I don't know.
Match had to be replayed.
Yeah, something went wrong. I don't know. Mike Dean did it. Whatever happened. Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, that's everything from us this week. So if you would like to get in touch, and actually do get in touch if you do know anything about that Paul Scholes thing, because I really am interested in that, about knowing if it's going to affect anything. So yeah, if you would like to get in touch, you can do so by finding us on Twitter.
At Footy Foundry.
Or you can find us on Facebook.
Football Foundry.
Or you can go to our pretty little website.
www.thefootballfoundry.com.
Perfect. And a huge thank you to our partners, the Beautiful Game Network. They have a whole host of a variety of different football podcasts to suit your needs from across the pond in the States. And you can find them on Twitter by searching for...
at BGNFM.
Correct. And finally, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Roughneck Scarves. They are the official scarf supplier of the MLS, USL and US Soccer. You can get yourself a custom-made scarf for your team at...
roughneckscarves.com.
Perfect. And that is us done for another week. Just before we do shoot off, Matt, is it still 0-0? Imagine it's about half time, though, isn't it?
Sorry, I was just looking at another bet there. I haven't got a problem, honest. 0-0. Still 0-0. Not half time yet.
No worries. Well, we've got cup action next week. We've got Champions League action as well. So do come back next week to have a little talk about those. And we'll see if Newport County can beat Manchester City. Because that's coming up next. Is it this week that's happening? Newport VC.
Yeah, I can't actually remember. I think that'll be next week, to be honest. Don't know.
It is Saturday the 16th, so it's this week.
Oh, it's
coming.
This week.
And I'm so glad that they won 2-0. As soon as it happened, I sent you a message saying, I told you they'd beat Middlesbrough 2-0.
Yes, did you put a bet on it, though?
I did not, but I am going to put a bet on for Newport to win 1-0 in the 88th minute, like what Wigan did when, what's his face?
Will Grigg.
Yeah, and I think it was Ben Watson as well that did it as well in 88th minute.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for that.
Okay.
But yeah, so thanks very much for everyone that's listening, if you're still here. I've not scared you away with my rant.
Yeah.
I promise I'll be better next week. I do apologise for my ranty week this week, but football's stressful.
Yes, it is.
So thank you everyone for listening. And Matt, would you like to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Thank you again and goodbye.
This podcast is part of Britpod Scene, an independent network of uniquely British podcasts that's always growing. Check out BritpodScene.com or BritpodScene on Twitter to find out more.